Genesis chapter 22. And you know, that's Genesis 22, I'm sorry. They'll say, all your kids are welcome there, Kevin and Cindy. If they want to go back and be with the teens, they're welcome to go. If they want to stay in here, that's okay too. Genesis chapter 22. The question that I read tonight is, or that I've selected for tonight, was one that was very simple yet very deep. The question asks, can you explain more fully what it means to live for God by faith? And I thought, wow, what a great question. And it may take more than one or two or three nights to answer it, but that's a great question. That's what we're going to be dealing with. What does it mean to live for God by faith? So if you have your Bibles tonight, let's go to Genesis chapter 22 and let's pray. Well, let's read the word, then we'll pray. Genesis chapter 22. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes, and saw the place afar off. And Abram said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again unto you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Heavenly Father, tonight, Lord, this question is so good, but Lord, it's so far above my ability as a human to answer it correctly and in a way that it would be a blessing to your people. But I know your word is more than sufficient to the task. And I ask tonight, Lord, that you'll give me clarity of thought. I ask that you'll give me the words to explain this beautiful concept to your people in a way that it would do justice to your word and it would bring great understanding and enlightenment to them. And we'll not fail to give you, Lord Jesus, all the praise, the honor, and the glory for whatever you do this night. In Jesus' name we pray. In John chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5, the word tells us that whatsoever is born of God overcomes. Whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And then the scripture goes on to say, and this is the victory, even our faith. My Lord, that's a beautiful statement. That's a beautiful statement if we can understand it properly. What it means to live by faith. I believe the Holy Spirit had me select the text we read tonight to attempt to explain this beautiful yet deep concept of living by faith for God. You got to understand that Abraham, in the text we just read tonight, when God called him and asked him to do something that was unheard of from Jehovah God, all of the other false religions in the world at Abraham's time employed human sacrifice as part of their worship. Jehovah God had never demanded such from anyone. And what another mitigating factor in this request of God to Abraham is that Isaac was the son of promise. Isaac was the son through which the Messiah was going to come through that was brought about supernaturally between the relationship between Abraham. And I forgot his wife's name. Sarah, yeah. Between Abraham and Sarah. Thank you. And that was wrought by God. You'll recall that Abraham and Sarah, when the promise had come to them, you're going to have a son. When they were 90 years old, the Lord told them, you're going to have a son. And they thought, Sarah tried to help the situation out, and that's the reason that whole Middle East today is in such disarray. is because the offspring of Abraham and Hagar, who was Sarah's handmaid, is where the rest of the Middle East comes from, all around Israel today, all of the Arab people. And when God called him to sacrifice his only son Isaac, whom was born supernaturally by the power of God through Abraham and Sarah, and Abraham knew that this son Isaac was the promised seed through which a Redeemer was going to come. I want you to think of that. Not only did Abraham have this great promise from God, and it had come to fruition, now God asks him, take now thy son. And from God's perspective, he says, thine only son, because he was the son through which the seed of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, was going to come. He said, take him to a place I'll show you and offer him to me as a sacrifice. Wow. I'm going to be honest with you. I've got two kids myself. I can't really get my mind around that thought. But Abraham was a man of great faith. And the first thing I want you to see tonight is, if you want your faith to really grow, only God can do that, first of all. You can't perform acts to cause your faith to grow. It can only come from God. There are those who teach you can do such, but it really can't happen. God has to give it to us. God has to give it. As an act of His grace, faith has to come. And whatever God calls you to, or whatever difficulty or circumstance He calls us to go through, if we'll trust Him like Abraham did, He will always give us the faith to go through it. He'll give it to us. The bigger the thing He calls us to go through, the more faith He'll give to get through it. And Abraham believed Him, but there's something else. Abraham had walked with God. And if you walk with the Lord for any amount of time, one thing you learn, He's a good God. He's a good God. He's never going to ask ultimately anybody to do anything that He wouldn't do Himself. He's a good God. And if you walk with Him, you begin to understand a little bit about His character and His nature. And you understand that He's a God of love. He's a God of grace. He's a God of mercy. He's also a God of great judgment. But to those who are His children, they've never been the objects of His wrath. Abraham understood the character of God. Now, listen carefully to what I'm about to say, because I believe the Lord gave it to me. It's not so awfully important that we understand the situation we're in this life. It's of paramount importance that we understand the God we serve. Because if you understand the God that you serve, you know that whatever He calls you to, He'll take you through it. And He'll give you the faith to go through it. And Abraham is such a great example of knowing God's character. And I'm going to read some things to you in a few moments from the Word of God that just, from the Word itself, it just makes me want to shout just reading the words from Scripture. They stand alone. They don't need a lot of exposition. They speak so boldly and clearly to all of us. But Abraham immediately, even at the command of God, and God told him, go to a place I'm going to show you. Didn't even specifically tell him where to go. And I want you to offer up your son. The Bible says the next morning. There was no question in Abraham's mind. There was no, Lord, you know, are you sure you want me to do this? Do you know who you're talking about here? This is Isaac, the son you promised me. This is the one you said the Messiah is going to come through. How can that happen if you're calling me to offer him up as a burnt offering, which is a heathen practice anyway, Lord? No, it's an immediate obedience. And how could that be? Whenever God calls you to go through a very, very difficult circumstance, long before that circumstance occurs. And Deb, I know you right now probably know more than any of us what I'm talking about. He's going to give you grace and revelation about who He is. Abraham had already received that before this time came in Genesis 22. You say, how do you know that? the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself in John chapter 8, verse 56. He said, speaking of Abraham, listen to this. Abraham rejoiced to see my day and was glad because of it. Before this time when God had called him to offer up Isaac, Abraham had been given a revelation of the coming Redeemer that I personally believe was like no other individual in the history of the Bible. Because Abraham was the very first one to be justified really by faith that we read about. Because the Bible tells us in Genesis 15, Abraham believed God and it was imputed to him as righteousness. Abraham was the first one ever to be declared not guilty by God on the basis of his faith in a sacrifice, openly. There were other instances before Abraham, but we're given in Abraham's life the full revelation. And with that, God appeared unto him, and Jesus Christ in a pre-incarnate existence, before he took on the form of man, himself appeared to Abraham. And though the Holy Spirit doesn't give us a lot, the inference is so strong, and then the words of Jesus Christ bear it out. Abraham rejoiced to see my day, which intimates that at some point in time, before God called him to offer up Isaac, even before Isaac was born, the Lord appeared to him and said, I'm telling you now to offer up animals, but there's coming a day that I am going to take on the form of man. And I am going to bear a cross. And I will pay the penalty in full. And I will end the sacrificial system. And all of humanity, Abraham, is going to be blessed. Because you're choosing to believe me right now. Now think of that. And this is deep. This is very deep to me. Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Abraham knew that the Redeemer was coming. Can you imagine the questions that must have flooded his mind? When now God calls him and says, take this son and offer him up as a sacrifice to me. But Abraham knew in who he believed. He knew and understood God's character. And it proves out here. God had given him revelation and God had given him faith. Long before this text we read, and Abraham is able to immediately obey him. Because Abraham already knows. He has told me there is a coming Redeemer that I have already rejoiced over. He has told me that he's going to come through this son that he's given me named Isaac. And in the great faith chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, I want us to read it. I don't want to misquote it. Go there with me to Hebrews chapter 11. In answering the question, how could Abraham so immediately obey God and launch out the very next morning? The answer to that is found right here in Hebrews chapter 11. Beginning at verse 17. And we may just get the foundation laid tonight, but it'll be a good foundation. In the great faith chapter of the Bible, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17, the Apostle Paul, I believe, wrote this book, and he writes, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Did you see that? He that had received the promises. God had already told Abraham, and Abraham knew that God could not go back on his word. Oh, my Lord, that's important for us tonight. We need to know that. God will never go back on this word. Abraham knew and understood his character, that he was a totally honest God, that he was a truthful God, that he was a God of grace and love and mercy. And Abraham had a revelation. Abraham had a promise. And he knew that he didn't. That's why I said it's not so important that we fully understand our circumstances. But it's altogether important that we understand the character and nature of God. Because that's what took Abraham through this. That's what took Abraham through this. Because I'm going to be the first one to tell you. There is no way on this world he could have understood completely his circumstance and what God was asking him to do. But he had a promise. He had a promise from God. And he knew the character of God. Somehow, some way, although he couldn't figure it out in his mortal mind. And what kind of God would he be if we could figure him out with these finite human minds? But he knew enough to know. He's promised me this. That somehow, some way, even though he's calling me to sacrifice this boy right now, I've got a promise. Oh, glory to God. That'll preach for the next millennia. You got a promise tonight. Hallelujah. God has promised. Jesus has promised to be a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's a promise you've got. Hallelujah. He's promised if you put your faith in him, he'll keep you justified and he'll give you all you need to live in this life, no matter what he calls you to go through. Glory to God. And you know, I don't believe he's going to call any of us to go offer up our children. Thank the Lord. Amen. Can you breathe a sigh of relief on that one? But Abraham had a promise. Let's read on. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Now, I've got to fast forward in the story here a little bit. Most of you know it. We read the beginning part of it. Immediately, Abraham leaves the next morning and starts just wandering in the direction the Holy Spirit's leading him. You know, sometimes there's a lot in that for us. It's hard for us to understand the direction God's taken us in. And he don't always tell us. He'll give us an ultimate end, like he did Abraham. He said, there's a place I'll show you. Abraham didn't know. He had no specifics. But boy, don't we love to have those specifics. And I'm going to tell you now, you're rarely going to get them. Sometimes God does give us the very specifics, but rarely. Why? Because he wants us living by faith and trusting in him. That's what makes this life of Abraham such a study on living for God by faith. And the next morning, Abraham lights out with all the accoutrements needed to offer up a sacrifice. And it says he traveled 3 days' journey. You got to see the cross in this. Jesus was in the grave 3 days and three nights. Abraham traveled 3 days' journey. And then he sees Mount Moriah. Now, I don't have time to go into it too deep tonight, but let me tell you this. It's on one of the slopes of Mount Moriah. There's a place called Calvary. On one of the slopes of Mount Moriah, there's a place called Calvary. And God, after he's wandered now for 3 days with Isaac and the two men with him, the two young men with him, God says, there's a space, there's the place. You take him there. And even still, Abraham, in stark and perfect faith, although I know his heart is pained, it's heavy, it's breaking, but yet he trusts God. No wonder Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Because he has the power of life. If he kills something, he can raise it back up. If he chooses to allow something to die, he can raise it from the dead. And that's why we can trust him with our very souls. That's why we can live for him by faith. And you know the story. They get to the top of the mountain, of which I believe, personally, it was on the very spot that Jesus Christ would carry our cross. And he lays Isaac down. And man, Isaac's obedience. Isaac had to have a great deal of faith too, because he even asked his father on the way up the mountain, Father, where's the sacrifice? And Abraham's tremendous answer, the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. Now I want you to see this. Here they are, Abraham and Isaac, trudging up one side of the slopes of Mount Moriah. But God's working a plan in Abraham's life. God has taken Abraham to a place of faith that few men in history will ever ascend to. Because it's going to be through Abraham and this son Isaac, the Messiah is going to come. But coming up the other side of that mountain is a ram. Glory to God. Do you see that? He's obeying God and he can't see what's on the other side of the mountain. And sometimes when we're walking and we're living for God in faith and everything seems to be falling apart, We can't see the other side of the mountain, but God does. Hallelujah. God sees the other side of that mountain. Glory to God. And he gets up there and he lays Isaac down and he ties him down on the wood pile and makes an altar. And you know the story. I can see Abraham there as he takes that knife in his hand. And I believe, excuse my conjecture tonight, but he don't understand any of this. And he's got to be a little bit angry and heartbroken at the same time. And I can see tears rolling down his cheeks as he all of a sudden rears back the knife and is ready to plunge it into his only son Isaac. And all of a sudden a voice comes from heaven and says, Abraham, Abraham, stay thy hand. And God freezes it in midair and won't let him go any further. And he looks off to the left a little bit. And there is a ram caught in the thickets. The Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. I'm going to tell you what I believe now. We need to read it here from Hebrews on how Abraham was able to do this. And we've got to understand this. Let's read beginning at verse 17 again. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac thy seed shall be called. And verse 19, here is what was on Abraham's mind, and here how he was able to obey God so perfectly. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure, praise God. Abraham knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, my God will not lie to me, my God will not fail me, and if he causes me to stab this knife in my son's heart, before I have the knife out of his body, my God will make him a new heart and raise him from the dead if he has to, because I've got a promise from him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We've got a promise from him. People wonder in answer to our question tonight. And this is what causes most of the church and most Christians to just wallow around and never really get anywhere with God. Listen carefully to what I'm about to tell you. Getting saved is one of the easiest things in the world you can do. Now, listen closely to that. Getting saved is so very, very easy. All God requires is that you believe on Jesus Christ and what he did for you on the cross. Now, if you'll do that with trueness in your heart, you'll be born again at that moment in time. I don't care if you don't understand everything about the Bible. You don't understand everything about your car, but you walk out to it every morning, you turn that key, and you drive it. You don't sit there and say, well, I've got to understand how the timing sequence works on this vehicle before I can get in and start it and drive it to work today. Otherwise, I'm not sure I can get in it and start it. No, you don't think a thing about that, especially if you're like me. I know to take it to Valvoline every so often and let them change the oil when it gets as thick as mud. I usually do it before then, but you don't think about those things. Get it, you know, and truthfully, there's very little in this book that tells you how to get saved. Now think of the scriptures. There's one, of course, preeminently that comes to mind, Romans 10, 9 and 10, on how to get saved. But really, there's not all that much in here about how to get saved. Because God is so quick to save. God is so quick to save and honor faith if it's placed in what he says to put it in. The problem comes after we're saved. That's what this whole book is about, telling us how to live for God after we get right with him. That's what the majority of this Bible is about. And really, it shows how, like sheep, Vaughn and I were talking about this the other day. You know, sheep's, they say it's the stupidest animal on the face of the planet. And that's why God so often in the New Testament, Jesus so often in the New Testament likened us unto sheep. Because they're really stupid. Now, you study about some sheep. I read a book one time. It was called A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm. This guy owned a sheep farm. And he knew and understood sheep, and he was saved because he read the 23rd Psalm, you know, the shepherd, Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Him being a shepherd, He understood fully everything the Lord was saying through that psalm because he was a sheep herder. And he knew that, sheep, there's always one, they say, in every herd, that they call it the bell sheep. That it's got a personality where it wants to have its own way. And the shepherd's challenge is to get the sheep to follow him and not that bell sheep. Because that bell sheep will lead them because it's stubborn. It wants its own way. It's not very smart. And it'll lead the entire flock of sheep off cliffs, into lakes, just because it wants its own way and it wants to lead. There's a beautiful example I read from this book about a shepherd looks at the 23rd Psalm. And I've used it before, but I believe it's worth bearing out now. Because this is what God has to do to us. This is what God was doing to Abraham. After so long, that shepherd, he said, and the gentleman writing this book said that this is how he does it, even in modern times. They'll give that sheep three times. He'll go over and he'll pull it back into the flock, you know, because it's trying to lead the other sheep another direction. Three times they'll go through this process. On the fourth time, when that bell sheep is just being stubborn and refusing, that shepherd will pick that little sheep up, the bell sheep, one's causing all the trouble. He'll lay it over his leg, and he'll grab it by the hind leg, and he'll snap it and break it. Now that sounds cruel, doesn't it? Sounds very cruel. That shepherd also does something else. Right after he breaks it, and that little sheep cries out in pain. It can't walk on its own any longer. Its leg is broke. That shepherd will lovingly then set that leg and set the bone. And he'll carry that little bell sheep until that leg is healed. And when he sets it back down, it stays with the flock. For sometimes for God to get anywhere with us, he's got to break our leg. Because we are so stubborn and full of ourselves and want our own way. That's what he was doing with Abraham. And really, we're not fit to understand and live for God until he's broken us. Until he has taken us to a place to where our mind, like Abraham's, was, Lord, I don't understand this. And I know he's had to do this in my own life many times. And I've come to understand the process just a little bit. And I like to think I'm not as hard and stupid before the Lord as I used to be. That now when I feel that little nudge and him saying, don't do this, it's I understand his character. He's not going to ask me to quit anything that's good for me. He will withhold no good thing from me. And if I start to go down a path then that I know I shouldn't go down, I've learned to, when I feel that little tug, that little voice in my spirit saying, no, don't do that, Greg. Not to do it. Not to do it. Because there have been times I chose to go my own way, even with the Lord, and he lovingly let me go for a while, but then there came that point he broke my leg. And he always carried me until it was well. And I learned what he wanted me to learn, and he set me back down then. And I didn't go that way anymore. You see, so many people don't understand how to live for God after they're saved. And that's what most of the Bible is about. Really, 90% of it is about telling us what God wants from us. And it's not all that difficult. People make it difficult. You know, and let's pose that question. It's good. What do you think God wants from you? What does Almighty God want from you and I? It is so simple, it beggars description. He wants us to believe him. Now your mind's, if you're like me, your mind might be stumbling over that tonight. He wants us to believe him. And the paths he has to take us down to simply get us to believe him and trust him. He had to do it with Abraham. That's what we read tonight was all about. He had a great promise he'd given Abraham. But if you read the history of Abraham's life up until this time with Isaac, Abraham was like one of those little bell sheep. He just run all over the place, came up with all kind of schemes and ideas. But after this incident on Mount Moriah, you don't read too much of Abraham ever straying away from God or going his own path again in any significant way. That's how you live for God. You just believe him. What got you in, what got you saved, is what keeps you saved. Now, I want you to think about what I'm telling you for a minute. Because people will tell you, well, you got to come to church, you got to fast, you got to pay your tithe, you got to do all that. And all those things are good, and scriptural even. But none of those keep you in a right standing before God. And then you have the crowd that tells you, oh, well, you sinned, it's all over for you. My Lord, my Lord, my Lord. If God was that way with us, again, ain't none of us going. We might as well just go to the local bar and grab us a bottle of Jack Daniels and chug it and snort a nose full of cocaine. Because if it's that way, nobody's going. Get what I'm about to tell you. In living for God, the way to live for God is to just keep on believing. In spite of all of Abraham's failures before this point in time, when God finally broke him, God never quit dealing with Abraham. And Abraham did some horrible stuff. I mean, he made up a big lie on his wife Sarah. Said, no, she's not my wife, she's my sister. Because whenever Abraham went into these foreign countries when he was sojourning, it was a custom of these kings in these foreign countries that there's a beautiful lady, the king would grab her and take her and kill the husband. Yeah. So to save his own hide, boy, we guys are snakes, ain't we? Yeah. Well, most of us. Until the Lord redeems us, all of us are. And then the only good thing in us is Jesus. So, you know, that's. But yeah. Twice Abraham lied because King Saul saw how beautiful Sarah was. And they said, hey, man, I want that lady. Abraham, well, you can have her. She's my sister. And in spite of that, both times he did it. What happened? Abraham walked out with a lot of gold, and they gave Sarah back to him. Now think of that. When the blessing of God is on you, your standing with him is predicated on your faith alone. Hear what I'm about to tell you. We like to think of it different. Every blessing we get, I don't care what it is, whether it's a baby, a home, a pay raise, whatever you want to name it, if you feel it's a blessing from God, you got it by his grace. You didn't earn it. Now, we love to think we earned it. Well, God gave me that $1,500 bonus at work because I pay more tithes than anybody else in the church. How silly we humans are. You got that solely because of his grace, which means unmerited favor, because your faith was in the right place. Now, I'm here to tell you, this grace thing is a beautiful thing. Now, you say, but Pastor, now this troubles some that are real, real holy. I think, but Abraham lied and he sinned, and yes, he did. And we're seated here tonight, a church full of sinners, but we're still blessed. Ain't a one of us perfect in our natural body right now, in this mortal coil. Ain't a one of us perfect. I'm sorry to break the news to you. So therefore, everything good thing we get comes by his grace and his mercy. We don't earn a second of it. And he'll still bless us even when we're imperfect. That's the kind of God we serve. Praise God. Well, I got to close this tonight. We're going to pick it up next week. And we're going to go into more. We've laid the foundation tonight of what God has to do to get us to live right before him. I hope you see that. He's got to break us. He's got to. Because we're just like the sheep. We're so quick to start trusting in something other than what brought us in, Christ and him crucified. And what brought us in is what keeps us in. It doesn't change one iota. Not one iota does it change. What brought us in is what keeps us in. The way we're saved is the way to keep on living for God. And that's so simple. But my Lord, it's hard to live. It's so hard to live that way. Until God breaks us. Until he takes us to that one point in our life where the whole world is crumbled and there's nothing left but us and him. And I'll close on this thought. I never will forget it, by the great A.W. Tozer. He said, a man is not fit to be able to live for God and be an effective witness for the Lord Jesus Christ until the Lord's broken him. And those that he has the biggest calling on and the biggest mission for are those who will be broken the hardest. Abraham had a big mission and a big call from God. But God took him to the very brink, I believe, of even losing his mind. Can you imagine that? Laying one of your children down on an altar at the command of God and taking the knife in your hand. Now, church, God took Abraham to the very brink. But Abraham had to be broken because God was going to use him in a mightier way. It's because of Abraham and his obedience to God that we're in this church tonight. That's how fresh what we've read tonight is and how applicable it is to you and I. We're in this church tonight because of the faith of Abraham. We're redeemed tonight because of the faith of Abraham. Oh, sure, if Abraham had disobeyed him, God would have found somebody else. But Abraham chose to trust him. Tonight, as we close, I feel the Holy Spirit prod me on this. You have got a promise from God tonight. Everybody in this building. He won't let you down. He won't let you down. He won't fail you. Even if he calls you and asks for everything you've got in some form or fashion, he's going to bring you out on the other side of it than double what you went in with. Praise God. Praise God. He can resurrect anything. Glory to God. And I've got to say this before we leave tonight. True faith never, never dies. It's eternal. And let me use for a quick example tonight the faith of Ned Turvey. He loved Jesus. He had his faith in Jesus. And all of our lives were blessed of being around such a man of God. That faith is blessing us yet today as we think back on the strong faith Ned had. True faith never dies. It's eternal. It's eternal. And true biblical faith always looks at the promises of God from the eternal perspective. We're going to see him again one day, Deb. He's not dead. He's as alive right now as any of us. Nellie, your husband. He's as alive right now as any of us sitting in this building. And to be frank with you, I'd trade places with either one tonight. Yeah, I love my family and I love being here on earth. Oh, but to be with him. Praise God, praise God. Faith always looks from the eternal perspective, if it's proper faith. And Abraham looked at it that way. Scripture tells us what was on his mind. The Holy Spirit gave the Apostle Paul a revelation on what was on the mind of Abraham on that mountain. And it was simply that. If God calls me to kill him, he's going to raise him from the dead because he has promised me it's going to be this boy. Hallelujah. When God makes a promise to you, hold on to it and don't let go of it for anything because he's going to fulfill it. Give him a hand of praise tonight. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Would you stand? Next week we'll have more of a question and answer session, but I had to lay the foundation of what we're going to talk about tonight. And I'll ask that before we're dismissed. Quickly, does anyone have any questions? I know, like I said, I was trying to lay the foundation for the next couple of weeks tonight, and hopefully we did that. Anybody at all? Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, tonight in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that we can trust you. We thank you, Lord, that all you require of us is that we believe you, simply that, and that, Lord, the wonders you'll work in our lives. And, Lord, I just pray that you'll illuminate this truth and help me to hold it up like the spiritual diamond it is over the next few weeks. Bless us and keep us now until we meet again on Sunday morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. We'll see you on Sunday morning.